Hi, and welcome to Cold OD Messianic Congregation's weekly podcast. We meet every Saturday at 11 a.m. at 584 Franklin Road in Franklin, Tennessee. You can find out more information on our website at coldod.org or watch us live on our Facebook or YouTube by simply searching for Cold OD Nashville. And now, here's Rabbi Ken's latest message.
If you go to Exodus chapter 39, please, Exodus 39 and 40, and we're just going to touch on a couple things there. Ken Asu. Let's say Ken Asu. Ken Asu in Hebrew, it's just so, could be translated, yes, they did, yes, they did. Ken Asu. Let's try it again. Ken Asu. Just so. And it, yes, we do is not correct grammatically, but it's just kind of the way I'm applying it. Yes, we do. But it really is, yes, they did, really. Yes, they did. And is really what it means. And it's many times here. So 12 times in Exodus 39 and 40. Well, Lord, we just pray you open our eyes to behold wonderful things from your word, Lord, as we always ask you, Lord, please. Because if unless you enlighten us, Lord, unless you speak, Lord, we're not interested in hearing, Lord. And so we pray you would speak. And unless you open our hearts, Lord, nothing will happen. So penetrate our hearts with your word, Lord. Pierce us with your word, Lord, to do wonderful things, to bring us more, to make us more like you, more like Yeshua, our Messiah. Gale naiva avitani flaot me toratecha b'shem Yeshua. Amen. Amen. 12 times it says in Exodus chapters 39 and 40, 12 times I count, as the Lord commanded Moses, or as the Lord commanded him. Ka'asher tzaveh Adonai et Moshe. As the Lord, like the Lord commanded Moses, or like the Lord commanded him in chapters 39 and 40. 12 times. Everything did get done. This is the finishing of the tabernacle, the Mishkan, the building of the tabernacle. Everything did get done, just as the Lord had instructed him. Just as the Lord had instructed him. Everyone did their part. Why? Why? Because God was orchestrating. God was inspiring them, motivating them. He was empowering them. He was energizing them. And they were responding. So both were happening. They were responding. But it was ultimately God who was in control. The right time and the right conditions. The right time and the right conditions. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Okay? Let's say that. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. All right? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. All right? So God is the one in control. And in chapters 39, let's just read a couple verses here. Let's read verse 32. So all the work of the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was finished. The children of Israel did everything according to what the Lord had commanded Moses. They did it just so. That's the way it translates it in TLV. But the word is ken asu. Let's say ken asu. Ken asu. But ken is yes in Hebrew. So if you don't know, ken is yes, lo is no, right? So, but that's the word really means to establish. Ken, the root, it means to establish a firm beginning. Certainly, yes. But it means to establish a firm beginning. But it's used in modern Hebrew as, you know, when you say here yes. Like affirmative. Six times it says, ken asu. They did it just so. Asa means to make or create. Or six times, It says, he did it just so. Ken asa. Want to try that one? Ken asa. Ken asa. All right. Yes, he did it. Yes, he did it. Yes, he created it. He made it. Certainly they did so. Now why? They wanted to do it, in other words. They wanted to do what God had commanded because God had put it in their hearts. They didn't do it grudgingly. When I'm rightly aligned to the Lord, I want to do his word, right? I want to win souls, win others. You know, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. Have you ever read that verse or heard of that verse? Proverbs 11:30, winning souls. Yeshua said, he that follows me will be fishers of men, right? And when I'm rightly aligned to the Lord, I really want to. He's in my heart, motivates my heart. I want to. I love and I want to read his word. I want to study. It's not you have to. It's not, oh, you need to. It's I want to. I want to be with his people. It's not like, oh, I've got to go be with his people. I want to be with his people. I want to. I want to. I want to do what he's putting in my heart for ministry. So we say, Ken Asu. Let's say, Ken Asu. Ken Asu. You're going to be hearing that over and over in your dreams tonight. All right, Ken Asu. Ken Asu. Esther did as Mordecai commanded her, going to the king on behalf of her people after calling for a 3-day fast. And it was not according to the law of the land. It was going against, contrary to the law of the land. In Esther chapter 4, verse 8 and 16, he commanded, told her what to do. And then Mordecai, I love it, it switches around. Mordecai did as Esther commanded him, to gather all the Jewish people in Shushan together to fast and intercede for her success. In chapter 4, verse 17. I love that question. She submitted to the Lord through Mordecai, and then when she submitted to him, now she told him what to do, and he submitted to the Lord through her because she was, now God was working through her. Ken Asu. Certainly we do so. We do so. Just so. Now the Mishkan described first in Exodus 25 through 31 is and completed in chapters 35 through 40 is a temporary and portable sanctuary. And it was built to house God, to house the Lord or his kavod, his presence, his glory in the midst of Israel. As it says in Exodus 29:43, there I will meet with you to speak with you there. I will meet with the children of Israel there. Let me repeat it. There I'll meet with you to speak with you there. I'll meet with the children of Israel there. Exodus 29:43. And as God himself requests in 25:8 of Exodus, V'asu li mikdash v'shechanti b'tochem. And let them make me, for me, a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God says, I want to dwell among them. Well, we are a temporary, like that, we are a temporary, portable dwelling place or house for God's presence, right? We're the house of God as well. It says, for we here have no lasting city, but we seek the one to come. Love that verse, Hebrews 13:14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. These bodies are temporary. They're portable and temporary. I'm a sojourner, David said. I'm a temporary dweller, it means, on the earth. Hide not your commandments from me, Lord. I'm only here for a mist in the night. I'm just here for a little while, a vapor, James says in 4:14 of James. These all died, it says, the writer of Hebrews says, without receiving all the things promised, but they saw them. They saw them, the Hebrews 11 group, and they welcomed them from afar, and they confessed that they were strangers and sojourners on the earth. And this tabernacle, the Mishkan, was placed within the centermost point of the camp. Think about it. As Israel's traveling, but the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is placed in the centermost point of the camp, and it represented God dwelling at the core of the nation. the core of the Israelite nation. So he must be preeminent, not periphery, not in the outside, not just, you know, secondary and thirdly in my life, but he has to be preeminent. He has to be at the center, in the center of my life. Yeshua said, if any man serves me, he must, what? Follow me. And where I am, there also will my servant be. If any man serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, like Crystal mentioned in the last part of the parasha today, the cloud goes up, we go with it. It's not, God, you follow me. God, you do what I tell you to do. God, do my will. No, it's, Lord, I'm here to do your will. I follow you. And Yeshua said, if any man follow, and where I am, there also will my servant be. John 12:26. He is the head of the body, his community. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. First, preeminence. Or Messiah, who is our life. He's your life in Colossians 3:4. First is 1:18. Then 3:4. For me to live is Messiah, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. So the tabernacle is home to God's words. The Mishkan was home to God's words, written in stone. The very first instructions, repeated several times, for building the tabernacle are for constructing the ark, the Aron, the ark, to contain the stone tablets, which is to reside there permanently. Again, the ark, first thing, remember, before even the house was built, the ark for the word of God. The Bible has to be prioritized. The Bible, God's saying, the Bible's to be prioritized. The scriptures are preeminent, are most important. The preaching of the word, the studying of scripture, everything, all about the word of God. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:2. Be ready in season and out of season. Proclaim the word. Your words, Jeremiah said, your words were found of me and I did eat them, and your words were for me the delight to me and the joy of my heart. Jeremiah 15:16, I love your word. Your words I have treasured. Remember, the Hebrew word is to treasure and protect in my heart that I might not sin against you in Psalm 119:11. Let the word of Messiah dwell in us richly, Colossians 3:16. The word, the Bible, forever settled in heaven. The Bible's got to be, God says, that's preeminent, that's most important. And in 39:40 of Exodus, again, he keeps saying again, Ken Asah. This is what God told them to do. And he said, yes, we do. Yes, they did it. Yeshua was faithful in everything, just as the people were faithful. Yeshua was faithful too. Faithfulness is what God highlights and esteems so much. Hebrews chapter 3, you can turn there if you want, but I'm going to read it. The first six verses of Hebrews chapter 3. In the new covenant. Therefore, holy brethren, I'm going to read from the New King James, the inspired version that Paul used, the Apostle Paul used. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest, the shliach, the emissary, the apostle, and the Kohen Gadol of our confession, Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Faithful is emunah in Hebrew. Let's try emunah. Emunah, trustworthy, faithful, comes because God is faithful. We're able to be faithful. He's faithful to us. We're faithful back. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house, Yeshua, built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful. Third time he uses the word here. Faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward, but Messiah as a son. Moses as a servant, an Eved, Messiah as Ben, as a son, over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Firm to the end. Because they're facing persecution as believers, these Jewish believers, recipients of the letter to Hebrews, just as we've been teaching, in the letter of Smyrna, the message to Smyrna in the book of Revelation in the Apocalypse now, and they were about to face, many of them were about to be martyrs in Smyrna. We want to be faithful. We want to be faithful, just as Moses was faithful. Amen? Just as Yeshua was faithful, right? Ken Asu, let's say it. Ken Asu. Yes, they did, and yes, we do. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 5. I'm going to read as well. Let a man so consider us as servants of Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found, what? Faithful. Very good. Faithful. Let's all say it. Faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing. I love it. I love Paul's attitude. He's like got an attitude here, you know. He goes, with me, it's a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I'm not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. It's like God is going to find something to give praise to for you because he loves us and he's going to find something. But Paul said, listen, we have blind spots. It's God's job, not yours. God's job, and he will reveal that. Now the woman at Bethany in Mark chapter 14, she had an alabaster jar of expensive oil of pure nard, and she poured it over Yeshua's head. Mark chapter 14. We're not going to read the story, but it's a beautiful story to read. And she was attacked by the disciples that didn't understand. They said, why? They got angry at her. They said, why are you wasting this expensive? I think it was a year's worth of oil. Why are you? They kept scolding her. And they said, and Yeshua came to her defense. And he said, she's done a beautiful deed, a mitzvah to me. She's done a beautiful deed to me. And it says in the Greek, this beautiful phrase, he said, she did what she could. She did what she could. The Greek word is echo. Literally, she held. She did what she could. The word could is echo, what she held. And so I want us to think today in terms of our faithfulness, in terms of what we do for the Lord. What are you holding? What am I holding? What's in my hand today? What am I able to do? What has God put in my hand or in my head? What are my talents, my skills, my passions, my desires? Where am I gifted? Where do I excel? What do I love to do? I don't think God wants you to do what you're miserable doing. Maybe for a season sometimes to learn some, you know, he does things that we just have to learn some lessons. But ultimately, really, and for his glory, he wants us to do, I think, what we love to do. And he puts that in our heart. And he gives us that desires of our heart if we're after him. What do you love to do? What do you yearn to learn? Take a course if it helps you. Find a mentor. You can improve, you can grow and develop, and in time succeed. Don't give up. And doesn't matter how old you are, by the way. I don't care how old you are. No excuses. Or how young you are. What has God put in my hand? The miracles that God uses us with our weaknesses. We're not experts, none of us. We're extremely imperfect. And we see our imperfections and our deficiencies, but God sees our willing hearts and our availability to Him. Moses, you got a shepherd's staff, but it will part the seas, the sea of reeds, and it'll bring water from a rock, a shepherd's staff in Exodus 4. Shamgar, you have an ox goad in Judges 3:31, with which you'll strike down 600 Philistines. Yael, you have a tent peg and a hammer. Guess what you're going to do with that? In Judges 4:21, you're going to pin General Sisera's head to the ground. Gideon, with a pitcher and a shofar, in Judges 7:16, you'll frighten the whole enemy army away. Shimshon, or Samson, you'll use the jawbone of a donkey in Judges 15:15 to kill 1,000 men. And David, yay, David, yay. You'll sling one smooth stone out of the five. I think we're five, right? Yep. Five. Stone, he slung it. David, you're going to sling that stone into the forehead of Goliath, and he'll fall flat on his face to the ground. Let's say the words again in Hebrew, ken asu, ken asu. Yes, they did it. Yes, we'll do it. Yes, we'll do it with whatever we have. Yitzhak Perlman, how many know Yitzhak Perlman? Yitzhak Perlman, at the age of 3, knew he wanted to play the violin, even though he could barely hold a child-sized one. The music school wouldn't accept him, so he taught himself to play. A year later, he was paralyzed by polio and in a wheelchair. His doctors didn't think he should pursue music, but he pushed on and became an internationally known violinist and conductor, winner of more than 12 Grammy Awards. Actor Danny Glover, who has dyslexia, admits that at one time the condition made him feel he was unworthy, quote, unworthy to learn. He focused on his ability to work well with numbers. Walt Disney was believed to be dyslexic. Albert Einstein was autistic. Richard Hex, I've shared this one before, was born with crippled hands, disabled hands and feet. His hands hung normally following an operation, but he had not the slightest power in them. This did not keep him from attaining his ambition to become a painter. He attended the School of Arts for 7 years. Then he earned his living as a painter, wielding a brush with his teeth. Some of his paintings are so beautiful that they hang in Buckingham Palace. Ken Asu. Ken Asu. Be faithful with what we have. Never know what it can do. Moses in Exodus 40:33, it says, finish the work. Let's say this, so Moses finished the work. So Moses finished the work. That's what it says, 40:33. Mishkan and accompaniments all complete. And then we read, the cloud covered the tent of meeting, the glory of the Lord filled it. Well, that's what happened. That's where Exodus finishes. With that episode, that account, Yeshua finished his work, didn't he? He was faithful, we read in Hebrews 3:2, to the one who appointed him in his house, as was Moses. Yeshua said earlier in his life when he was still alive physically, in his temporary body, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work, John 4:34. And I love this phrase, I love these verses, I'm sure you do too, in John 9, verses 4 and 5, we must do the work of the one who sent me as long as it's day, still day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Have to do it now. in his beautiful high priestly prayer where we see him as high priest before he's actively high priest in John 17, that beautiful, powerful chapter. He says, I glorified you on earth, praying to the Father, I glorified you on earth by finishing the work. I finished the work that you gave me to do. Seems like he's saying it in faith, that he knows he's going to the cross, he's going to die, and he's going to accomplish it. And in John 19:30, the great words, I don't know if I'm pronouncing the Greek right, tetelestai, it is finished, right? It is finished. Let's say it. It is finished. He finished the work. Isaiah 53 verses 11 and 12 prophesies, as we know, 700 or 800, as we show this 700 or 800 years before Yeshua came, we show this prophecy to our Jewish people so many times. He made many righteous and he bore their iniquities because he poured out his soul to death, bearing the sins of many, interceding for the transgressors. Yeshua finished his work. Paul finished his course in 2 Timothy 4. Listen to his words when he's in prison and he knows he's going to go to his death. All the historians agree that he was eventually martyred, probably beheaded. He was eventually martyred. This is what he said in prison when he could no longer travel on his missionary journeys, but he was able to still write letters from there. He says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. 2 Timothy 4:6. I have fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to everyone who's longed for his appearing. He fought, he served, he persevered, he loved, he stayed in prison, and eventually gave his life. The Kehillah in Smyrna was being prepared to face martyrdom for many. In Revelation 2:10, John writes, and he says, don't fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil, the adversary, the slanderer is about to throw some of you into prison so that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation, pressure, squeezing, the Greek word thlipsis, for 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown, the winner's crown, the stephanos in Greek, the crown for the winning the race. I will give you the crown of life. Chaim, crown of life. Paul says, tell Archippus in Colossians 4:17, see to it that you complete the service you have received of the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Archippus, who was he? Well, we know he was a fellow soldier, Paul calls him in Philemon 1:2. He says, and he writes him, and he says, see that you complete the service. We want to finish our service, don't we? Whatever our ministry is, our service, whatever we're called to do. What is your service? What is your ministry? What assignment have you and I clearly received in the Lord? The Greek word there, the Greek phrase there in Colossians 4:17 is really received alongside, paralambano, received alongside, and it's in the Lord. In your closeness with him, he's made clear to you. We want to finish our course. Amen? To repeat from what I said at the outset, everything did get done just as the Lord had instructed Moses. Everyone did their part because God was orchestrating, he was inspiring, motivating, empowering, he was energizing, and they were responding, but it was ultimately God in control. The right time and the right conditions. So I encourage you, you will complete your work and you will complete your course. You will, because God is faithful. Even when we're not, I love 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, what? He remains faithful. He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we're faithless, we believe not, he remains faithful. He believes in you. He's in control. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Ken Asu. Let's say it. Ken Asu. Amen. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your work, and our response to you. Lord, help us to yield to you. We thank you and we praise you. If you've never trusted Yeshua in your life, this is a great opportunity for you to receive Yeshua. Say yes to God. Please don't put it off. This is the most important decision you'll ever make. Say, yes, Lord, I need Yeshua. I want to have my sins forgiven, have a new start. Open my heart to God. Say a prayer, opening your heart to God today. Yes, Lord God, I want to know you. I want to have my sin. I want to know Yeshua. And if you're praying that prayer, just opening your heart, he responds to you right now. He did it. He's coming into your life, making you a new person. And someone will hopefully be up here to pray with you afterwards or write us online if you are watching online and you did that, said that prayer.
He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Truly I say to you, in this world you'll have tribulation, but have no fear, dear one. Be of good cheer. Truly I have overcome. You too will what you are. All that I do, I share with you. I have no secrets. I have no need to keep them to myself. For I tell you, to the end, I call you. And so I am, but all that I do, I want you to do too. Secrets I'll whisper, and all you hear, go shout aloud out to this world that's near its end. I call you my friend. Peace I leave with you. Shalom I give to you. Truly I say to you, in this world you'll have tribulation, but have no fear, dear one. Of good cheer. Truly I have overcome. You too will overcome. So come, my friend. I know who you are. Before you were, I knew of you. I know you've so many secrets. You've so many needs. Don't keep them to yourself. No one to help you. In the end, just call my name. Same, searching for all who will claim this love I send, so I can call. Okay, can we stand together? I have the privilege of pronouncing the priestly benediction over you. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his grace and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And give you peace. Yivarech Lecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai upon avelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai upon avelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. V'yasem lecha shalom. This is the way you shall be blessed from day to day. You'll be your rest, O Lord. You are our rest. May the Lord bless and keep you. May his grace and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in all you do. Do it in peace. Do it through Yeshua. He is our peace.